I'm going to read from God's Word this morning from Psalm 139, and it's on page 628 if you got a Bible on the way in, but it's Psalm 139 and should appear on the screen as well, hopefully. You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. You hem me in behind and before. You lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you. If only you, God, would slay the wicked. Away from me, you who are bloodthirsty. They speak of you with evil intent. Your adversaries misuse your name. Do I not hate those who hate you, Lord, and abhor those who are in rebellion against you? I have nothing but hatred for them. I count them my enemies. Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Come this morning to another Psalm of David. We're thinking of a Psalm of David last week where David was in the desert and he talks of how he thirsts for God just as he thirsts for water in the desert. And here we come to another Psalm, a different kind of Psalm of David, and it's possibly one that is better known. There are certain Psalms that are better known than others. So there's the Lord's My Shepherd, probably one of the best known. And then possibly bits of this psalm are also ones that we might be familiar with, or we might not. But it's a psalm, it's a song, where David is expressing something of his relationship with God. But also of God's relationship with him, where he is expressing who God is and the impact that God has on his life, personally. And what comes across, one of the things that comes across in the psalm, in the song, is that God for David is not, he's not a vague, impersonal God who you can't get to know, who's kind of detached from reality or detached from us. No, this God that David is speaking of, this God that David knows, is a personal God. And a God who is intimately involved and interested in our lives, whether we realize it or not. And this morning, as we think about this psalm, there are three things that David recognizes about God, this personal God, this God who was personally involved in his life. The first thing that comes across in the psalm and which David speaks of is that this God that he knows is a God who is his personal creator. Read from verse 13 these words. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. David was around before the invention of ultrasounds. So he'd never carried the ultrasound of his unborn child on his phone, that he was able to show to people, look, here is my child being formed in a womb. And yet he knew the wonder and the miracle of a child being born. And he gives this picture of God knitting him together. That he was God's handiwork. That God is behind every intricate detail of himself. That God created who he was. Not just physically, but, yeah, you created my inmost being. You created me. And as we hold a little baby in our arms, we know the wonder of this, don't we? We marvel at it. This life, this new life, with all of its complexities, with the tiny hands, with the marvelous way that they are formed, and we're filled with wonder. And David recognizes, he sees that behind all the science, that a creator is at work. And that he's ultimately God's handiwork. And that means, one of the things that means is that it means that each person is special. And each person is significant. And each person has a dignity before God. Whether they are young or whether they are old, whether they're rich or whether they're poor, whether they're living in luxury or whether they're living in a refugee camp, whether they're in a palace or in a jail. Nobody is a nobody. Because each of us are made by him. Each of us are fearfully and wonderfully made. That's what David says. You're a personal God. You're a God who has made me. But he's also aware, as David, that this God is all-seeing and all-present. In our lives, there are people who will know us quite well. Brothers, sisters, husbands, wives, parents, friends that we've had for many, 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 many years. And they'll be able to tell much about you. And they'll be able to tell much about what you've done in the past, but they'll also be able to see. They'll be able to see in your eyes whether, when you say everything is all right, whether actually everything is all right. They know us. But they don't know us completely. Because no one is with us 24/7. And no one, and you're possibly quite thankful for this, no one can see into my mind, and no one can see into your mind and see what you're thinking in this very moment. But David begins the psalm describing how God sees and knows everything. You know when I sit. You know when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. My going out, my lying down. It's not just what he does, his movements, where he is, that God knows, but it's his innermost thoughts. It's his half-formed words. There's no privacy. There's no room in our home, as it were, where we can say, you're not allowed in here. God sees everything. God knows everything. But he's also everywhere. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go to the heavens, you're there. If I make my bed in the depths, you're there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, you're there. Nowhere in the universe that God isn't. I wonder, how does that make you feel? Because there's two ways in which we can feel about that. In one sense, it can be quite scary. Because there's many things in our lives, there's many thoughts, there's many things that we prefer that God didn't see. And we might be a bit concerned. Well, if God has seen that, well, what am I going to do? Because he's seen it. And will he still care for me? Can he still love me when he's seen that? And David would have known that as he wrote these words. And I'm sure he found that in some sense quite scary. Because David was someone who messed up himself. You can read his story and you'll find that out. But David also knew that this God who could see all things was also a God of forgiveness. A God who could cleanse him from sin, as he puts it. And that is the wonder of our God, that he sees us, but he's able and willing and wants to forgive. And of course, that's why Jesus came, and we've sung of that already this morning. I believe that Jesus came for the forgiveness of my sins. He gave himself so that when he looks at us and sees us, he doesn't see all the bad stuff, but he sees us made clean. And so we don't need, through Jesus, to be afraid. God sees everything. But I am His. I'm forgiven. But the fact that God sees everything and that there's nowhere we can go away from, yeah, it can be a bit scary. But on the other hand, it can also bring great comfort. And this is actually what David focuses on. God, you see, God isn't watching over us, waiting for us to trip up so that He can criticize us and tear us down. Perhaps we've had teachers like that or parents like that. And so we think, well, that's what God's going to be like too. And God's not like that. But rather, David had found that this God who was watching over him and saw everything was a God who was a loving Father, who was wanting to guide him, wanting to help him, wanting to restore him. And so David in the psalm, he sees God's presence with him everywhere and God knowing everything about him as something that was reassuring, something that was encouraging. It was a blessing rather than something that was oppressive. And so he says, your hand is there to guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. Even in the depths, He'll be with us. He says, if I say, surely the darkness will hide me, and the light becomes light around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you, the night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. So he's saying, sometimes in my life I'm in the darkness, but because you are with me, I'm okay. Because the darkness is as light to you. You see me. You know me. You know what I'm going through. You know what I'm going through better than I know myself. And you're with me in it. And even in the darkness, you are with me. And the darkness isn't darkness to you. For you, it's as light to you. What David is saying there is that the darkness isn't going to overcome God. And perhaps that is what we need to hear this morning as we come to church. You know that God, you need to know that God knows who you are. God knows what's going on. And that His hand will guide you. His right hand will hold you fast. And that even in the depths, in the darkness, He'll be there for you. For the darkness is as light to Him. And there is no pit so deep. There's no pit so dark that God's love and God's presence is not deeper still. God is my creator. He's made me. God knows me and He's with me everywhere. Finally, though, David talks about how this God, this personal God, is a God who is to be honored. The psalm, I don't know if you noticed this when we were reading the psalm, but it changes tone towards the end. And it's very tempting as a minister or a preacher to miss these verses out. Let's just pretend they're not there. But they are there. If only you, God, would slay the wicked. away from me, you who are bloodthirsty. They speak of you with evil intent. Do I not hate those who hate you? I have nothing but hatred for them. I count them my enemies. What are we to make of these words? There's not much love your enemies here, is there? Jesus calls us to love our enemies. And of course, we're not to take these words as permission to hate our enemies. David hated his enemies. It's okay for me to hate my enemies. Just because David says these words doesn't mean he's right to say these words. Doesn't mean that he's right to have this hatred. But what is striking is, there's a couple of things that are striking about it. First of all, it's striking that he's honest. Here he is. This is how he feels. And he knows that God knows everything about him, and he knows that God knows these feelings. And so he expresses them. But what's also striking about them is David's passion for God's honor. The hatred was not right. But what is it that's making him so upset? Is it because people are hurting me? These people are hurting me, and so I'm going to get back at them. Is it because people are attacking him? These people are attacking me, I'm going to attack them back. No, it's what's getting him upset is that people are speaking ill of God. They're mocking God, they're ignoring God, and worse. And David has come to realize that God was to be honored. He's the God who has made him. He's the God who is all present. He's the God who is all seeing. He's the God who forgives, the God who loves. And so it frustrates him. It causes him anguish when he sees people taking God's name in vain. It causes him anguish and frustration when he sees his God being mocked. And he doesn't just focus on others. These people aren't honoring you. But he also focuses on himself. The psalm ends by David praying for himself, that God would be honored in his life. Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting. Look into my heart, Lord, and see if there's anything, any offensive way in me. And we're thinking to ourselves, well, that hatred towards your enemies, perhaps that's one of them. But he's saying, help me deal with it by your Holy Spirit. Lead me in the way everlasting. And it's a prayer that we can pray for ourselves. Look into my heart, Lord. See if there's an offensive way in me. Help me to deal with it. Lead me in your ways. Lead me in the way of Jesus Christ. May I live for you in the week that is ahead. May I walk in your ways, the ways that honor you, the ways that ultimately lead to life. It's quite a risky prayer to pray. Because it's a prayer that is asking for God to show us things that need to change. It's asking God to take our lives, our motives, our desires, and to make us more like Jesus Christ, so that he will be honored in our lives. But it's also a prayer that leads to life, and life to the full. Let's pray together. Father God, we thank you that we are yours. We are made by you. You know everything about us. And that means that you are someone that we can call out to. You are someone who is, we can know is with us in our daily lives. When we go to school tomorrow, when we go into work, when we're up early in the morning with crying babies, you are with us and you understand what's going on in our lives, our stresses, our joys, our pains, our anxieties. You're with us and you want to help us. And so may we know your help. May we know your guidance. May we know your presence and help us to be more like Jesus. Search us, God, know our hearts. Test us and know our anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in us and lead us in the way everlasting. But we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.